Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. More than a few people have said, Bull is pretty outspoken politically. Maybe that has something to do with him being let go. I don't know. More than a few people. I follow him. I might not. But apparently I haven't seen his political points of view. So I don't know. I don't know about that. Maybe that is why. Maybe that does have something to do with it. We certainly know it affects more than a few people.
Ocho Texto says, I, for one, am glad I won't have to listen to any more mid-range jumper slander and analytics sermons from Bull. Well, I mean, listen, if that's how the Rockets are going to operate, where the mid-range is evil and there's a reason for it and they show you the numbers and he goes on. I mean, I think he was just a conduit of the team's philosophy into your living room. That's all I think that was with Bull. Although I do think he believed it. Once he was kind of shown the numbers and shown why the Rockets were doing what they were doing, I mean, I think Bull bought in. But Ocho Texto says, nope, I'm done with that kind of stuff. And then Kenan says, I have to agree with this particular take. Rockets' hate of all things mid-range was infuriating. Now, me personally as a basketball fan, yeah, to me, a comfortable shot is a comfortable shot. If you get a guy who can make mid-range jumpers like a Chris Paul. Now, maybe that's an extreme example.
Yeah. Nice. Well, what was infuriating was their hate of mid-range jumpers and their lack of three-point shooters. What the hell? If this is your philosophy, your theory of basketball, then go out and get really good three-point shooters, which Daryl Morey never did. I mean, there were great guys out on the market that seemed to be something that would fit perfectly into what he wants to do, and yet he got crappy three-point shooters. I never understood that. Breaking new play-by-play team for the Rockets is Hunter and Taylor Fertitta, and the sideline reporter is Hannah Fertitta.
Those aren't real names, Art.
That is simply not the case. And he doesn't, first of all, those aren't his kids' names.
Tony, the big Iowa fan, you know, Matt Bullard played college ball at Colorado and Iowa, where there's two schools. Bullard has spent the last 20 years ignoring Iowa and the Iowa program. He'd never go back to Iowa.
Yeah, probably. I don't know that.
Iowa have him, though, Tony?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they would. We don't know. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us. If you weren't here at the beginning, we talked about our Astros in Houston. Three games, a 1:10 game today. You're going to be out of practice. You're not going to be able to see it, so I would tape it if I were you so that you can watch our Astros sweep.
Well, it's just 12-1. The practice is like 12-1 and then a 1:30 availability with I guess whoever is going to be available, so I'll probably leave before that so I can watch Astros.
Frankly, the most important thing is, well, the Rockets have opened up their cafeteria to the media because I know how big of a fan you are of free food.
Yeah.
So will you be able to walk
in there? I'm a
media
member. This just in.
I understand, but you are a lover of food that you don't have to pay for. So are they going to allow people into that calf so you can get some ice cream or whatever?
Yeah. The ice cream was good there in the past. I don't know.
No, I think it's been off limits for the last few years.
Yeah, no,
I think Bill O'Brien decided to kick everybody out.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien wouldn't have people in there. And Nick Caserio certainly isn't going to have spies like us.
I know.
In the facility.
Just in case we have listening devices on, there's no chance he can take it.
We're going to bug his off. We're going to bug the cafeteria.
I fully expect to have a wand to be wanded if I go inside of NRG
Stadium.
Not for guns,
for some kind of microphone.
No, for listening devices.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I expect to be maybe this is a trap so they can go through my car, you know, Slim Jim the car, go through it to make sure I don't have any secret notes about the Texans somewhere or whatever.
You better hope it's only to go through your car. I wouldn't put it past them to cut your brakes.
Wait,
well,
why?
Because
he said ugly things about Bill O'Brien?
Organization. He's not too complimentary of Nick Caserio's drafts.
Ooh. No, I didn't love the draft.
So I'm just saying.
I gave him a C-.
What?
Yeah. Lowest grade, lowest draft. I only had the AFC, but when I went through it all, I'm like, man, this is a C-minus draft.
Wow.
He was in the hole with no first and second
apparently
rounder.
Apparently, you haven't seen their quotes about Garrett Wallow, have you?
About how much of a leader he is.
He's unbelievable.
I know. I said that pre-draft because every coach says that about him.
Well, they love him.
I want to see if
so
he can...
maybe draft trading up twice to get him was a tremendous thing. A-plus. Here's what Caserio said. A-plus football character. Everybody talks about that.
Yep.
But it does matter. It makes a difference.
Sure.
Coachability, willingness to take coaching, improve, handle adversity, adjust, handle
Excuse
transitions.
Me.
There's a lot of things that go into it.
Excuse me.
What is it, Bill?
I didn't hear at any point.
Good football player?
Yeah, what is how he
I hear
good
a lot of intangibles.
Football? Yeah. Did he say anything about how good of a football player he is?
Mm. His energy, his juice, his passion, the way his teammates responded to him from a leadership
intangibles.
Standpoint.
Intangibles. All right. How does he shed a block?
Football. Now do the football.
Thing. Do the football stuff.
Well, he does. Here's one. He was around the ball a ton. Kid with very good instincts. Sniffs out the ball really well. Can run.
Okay. There it is.
Run.
Any impact? Does he make impact plays from the linebacker position?
Well, he
did have a lot of tackles.
He did.
So
he
does
did
that last
Was it impact? Did they win a bunch of games? No.
Did he make plays?
He did last till the fifth round. But
well, we traded up twice for him because of his leadership. You know what I expect?
What his pro day was.
I expect established veterans to look to get Wallow and go, hey, we need to follow his lead. That's generally how it works out.
I was shocked when his first press conference. What are you bringing? I'm bringing leadership. You're a rookie, son.
Yeah, the guys who've been in the league and have either struggled or found a way to stay in.
Garrett Wallow's advice.
To get this tryhard in their face.
You know, he's undersized, too. The last weight we had on him on our NFL scouting report was 220 pounds. He's got less than 31-inch arms, which is not ideal. I'm trying to see if I can find a pro day for him. What his...
Maybe you haven't heard of a guy named Zach Thomas, okay?
I've heard of him.
You heard of him, yeah.
The guy maybe, should be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, okay. Maybe Garrett Wallow is the next Zach Thomas, and you two, okay, don't understand his leadership ability.
Or maybe he's a great value Nick Sorensen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nick Sorensen's okay.
Nick Sorensen's pretty good.
He's always
good.
Busting the Texans up with special teams plays.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's right. I think Garrett Wallow's a special teamer.
Nick Sorensen.
Sorensen's on the field?
No, he's 42 years old. He's not on the field. He's been retired for years.
Well, no. You're talking about the Jaguars. I'm talking about Sorensen from the Chiefs.
No, yeah. I wasn't talking about
He's
that
on the
Sorensen.
Field for the
yeah,
Chiefs.
But he's safety. He busts people up.
I wasn't referring to him. I was referring to the
Nick,
that right. older
the dude with the hair.
Yeah. That's Sorensen.
That's Sorensen?
Yeah.
Oh, that one.
So Garrett Wallow wants that one.
Well, he was on the field too, though. He used to infuriate the Texans. I remember they used to fight a lot with the Jaguars, and Nick Sorensen was in the middle of a lot of that crap.
They had that vibe, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he is, Garrett Wallow is a little bit more than 6'1 and a half, 220 pounds. Ran a 4.65 40 at his pro day.
Thank you.
32 and a half verticals, okay.
No, he can run with people.
Short arms.
Can run with slower people.
Three-cone drill was really quick. No, so his short area stuff was really good. I'm not going to get bogged down with this backup linebacker who's going to play special teams.
Oh,
leadership,
really? Backup or leader? You're talking about...
I love all that stuff. That stuff does matter. Having guys who are good in the locker room and all that. I believe in intangibles.
Okay. Right.
But you better have intangibles when you're a small, undersized, short-arm linebacker who is a backup and a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is. I don't need to take up too much time with these backup linebackers who are on special teams. Kickoffs all get banged out of the end zone now anyway. who cares? The only coverage you actually do is on punt returns, it seems
and
like.
And those are fair catches mostly.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't want to overstate this whole special teams demon. I know that, you know, Matthew Slater's made a career out of being a special teams machine for the New England Patriots, and that's great. I know the New England Patriots cared more about special teams than any other team in all of pro football, and that's been verified by my guy who works at Zebra now, who used to work at Stats. He said Bill Belichick wanted them to start tracking how punts bounced off the ground, not just the tracking of, you know, hang time. He wanted to know when a ball lands from a punt, does it bounce left, right? Does it bounce forward? Like, he wanted to track things they weren't even remotely close to tracking. And now they track it because of Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So I don't doubt that the new Patriot general manager of the Houston Texans, Nick Caserio, is going to really covet special teams players. You know how I know? All of his signings in free agency. They all look like special teams guys.
Mm-hmm.
On a good team, at least. On a good team, they look like backup players who are special teamers.
That's about what they are. 813 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. And what does it look like when you're running for the Rockets?
Well, what it's going to look like this year is it's going to be virtual, but it's going to be more than just virtual. It's going to be a chance for you to win some really cool stuff and get your hands on. When you sign up at Rockets.com, this is what you're going to get your hands on. All participants are going to receive a Rockets Run t-shirt, a race bib, a race medal, and mesh bag. Now, how cool would that be for you and your son, or you and your daughter, or maybe you and your girlfriend or your wife, to go out there and register and help for a great cause? It benefits Children's Memorial Hermann, and you can either run or walk a 5K, a 10K, or a kid's 1K at your preferred time, place, and pace, but it needs to be by June 6th for a chance to win prizes. So go to Rockets.com today and go see if maybe that's something that you guys would want to do there on Saturday, where you get out there and maybe you're headed out to Memorial anyway. Make it for a great cause. Make it for Rockets Run. Go to Rockets.com to register today.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A color suit today on the side. I saw, I didn't ask him, but he said he felt, well, I asked him, he said he felt great. And, you know, he was in great spirits. Castro looked like he's getting better. And, Michael went out to, you know, to run on the field today, and he's in good spirits. And I asked him, had he been hit, and he says, yeah. And so, I mean, hopefully sometime on this road trip, we start getting some of these guys back. Probably Michael's, you know, one of the first ones to come back.
That was Pawpaw Dusty talking about McCullers and Brantley coming back.
Just going to leave out Castro?
Oh God, I forgot about Castro.
Actually, you know, Castro would be nice to have, you know, in a running situation late in the game. If Maldonado makes the last out of an extra inning, put Castro in there instead of him. That's something that you need. And plus, Castro's hit pretty well this year.
What about Gert Stubbs?
Stubbs as well. That's nice. How about Yordan in left field yesterday?
Yeah, I was kind of freaky. Yeah. I didn't know what that looked like.
We seen it.
Yeah, not much.
No, we saw it a couple times last year.
Not much. And Yordan,
it's just amazing to
how
me.
How about Yordan beating a double play the other day out, and Snacks immediately turns and said, I thought he was slow. He must have gotten faster now because he used to be really slow.
When?
And I said, I don't know if he was really slow, but I never considered him really fast. I didn't think he'd beat out a double play.
I think
he doesn't strike me as a fast guy.
And he was out.
Oh, that's right. They did. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, he kind of beat it out.
Well, not really. The ump thought he would beat it out.
It was close.
But he didn't.
It was close. He did it first.
But in reality, it was
a double
play. Yeah,
that's right. You're right. They came back and they're like, yeah.
Yeah. In reality, it was a double play that he didn't beat out. But
it was bang, bang.
But it was bang, bang.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me that he just is so first base. He just looks like so first base to me.
How many games has he been in a field, do you think?
overall in his life? Five or six?
Let's see here.
In his career, I'm going to say six games he's played left field and zero first base. Or has he played first base? I forget. Did they try him at first base one time? He just looks like, to me, I don't know. He just reminds me of Willie McCovey so much that he would just fit perfect. If he takes 1,000 ground balls a day, I'm pretty sure he could probably play first base someday. But got to get him. You know what? Let's go.
You know what? He was in left field 10 times his rookie year. I don't remember it being that much.
Yeah, I thought it was five or six.
10 times his rookie year, none last year. So he's been in the field 11 times in 131 games.
Yeah. Okay. He's a DH. That's what he is.
Mostly he's a DH.
But yes. They gave Altuve the day off, except for he had to hit. He DH'd yesterday. And you had Robel Garcia coming up every game situation. Robel Garcia was at the plate. It just is amazing how that happens with Straw or Garcia or Maldonado every game. It just is amazing. And, by the way, it happens with Chaz McCormick, who comes through all the time, who has how many at-bats and how many RBIs. He's unbelievable how good he is with runners in scoring position. So, yet, for whatever reason, you got to keep running Straw out there. I don't know. I would think that maybe
right now you're getting a double dose of both.
Put McCormick out there for a week and just give him a week and see what happens.
He still may get a chance. I like the fact that you have him. You know, he does get some good swings on the ball. He's just not on top of it. I don't feel like he has as great a command of the strike zone. And but he's also young, and I don't mind him right now. And Straw has been a little bit better. Straw's been a little bit better. So I give him some credit for improving a little bit.
I wouldn't say that he's been a little bit better. I mean,
well, he's had some hits in the series. McCormick, was it the Padres series?
McCormick is his OPS is over 120 points, 130 points higher. So
it's going to be.
Yeah, and he's had
Miles Straw's
61 at bats, and he's got 18 RBIs.
Yeah, Miles Straw
has 180 at-bats and 17 RBIs.
His slugging...
He's got three times the at-bats and one less RBI.
Listen, his slugging...
And he's had plenty of opportunities.
Are you ready for these numbers?
The three...
Miles Straw slugging since 2019? Let's see, 378, 244, and 303. Yeah, he's what you call a slappy.
He's hitting 233, and his slugging is 278. That's not going to really be very powerful.
He has had two of his 4 years, well, I don't even count the rookie year, two of his last 3 years where he's had some ABs, he's had that on-base percentage higher than slugging. That's always a bad sign to me.
Why are we afraid to play Aledmys Diaz more? Just because he's bound to get hurt if he's out there?
Well, I just think you think, I guess maybe you don't love him in the outfield.
Oh, you put Jordan out there?
No, I don't. I don't. I want Jordan's batting in the lineup, and I guess you just felt like...
Yeah, well, you wanted Altuve to have a day off.
They said before the season started they were going to play Jordan in the field more so that they could get guys days off.
Right.
Or allow them to just DH and not have to play
like
in the field.
Like Altuve did yesterday.
Yeah, and I get that, and that's what they want to do. I don't know. Aledmys Diaz strikes me as a better option off the bench if you need some offense. And he can play a multitude of positions. So if there's an injury, he could step in at a multitude of positions. Maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. The Astros, I would reckon, the Astros have eight guys at 800 OPS or more. I would reckon that's pretty high up there in the majors. 800 OPS is probably the line that you say, oh, that's a good hitter. And he's, you know, an okay hitter. 800 is pretty much the number. And they've got eight guys that are 800 OPS. Now, one of them is Castro, who has limited number at bats. But he's still, Castro has been awesome when he's been in there with a 271 average.
Better than expected.
Yeah, almost 400 on base and 479 slugging. No, he's been really good, but in his limited role. But I would imagine there aren't a lot of teams that have eight guys at 800 OPS or more, and seven of them qualify for the batting title. That's pretty good. That's pretty damn good. And the pitching is, listen, this ball club is starting to round out. If you get Uncle Mike back, you get McCullers back, and you got a team that actually, I know the bullpen has been a real problem. You know, we've talked about what can this team win with a bullpen like this, but when you're putting, if Garcia moves to the pen with Javier in there now, Blake Taylor, we'll see how he does.
I don't think Scrub is just necessarily coming back anytime soon.
I don't
soon.
Think so either.
This idea that you're just going to shuttle them and then they'll be right back, this isn't one of those roster games that you play with the practice squad in the NFL. This is like, all right, Andre Scrub, you have sucked this year. You go to the minor leagues, and if you pitch really well and these guys aren't good, then we'll bring you back in. But, you know, I honestly, if you look at their ability to go deeper with the starting pitchers, and then as you mentioned, when Lance McCullers comes back, somebody's going into the pen with a better arm than what we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Dusty is going to basically say, okay, Presley, Stanek, we know Presley and Stanek are his guys. I guess Brooks Raley is going to be his lefty, I guess. We'll
Blake
see
Taylor him. Might be.
And, but Blake Taylor for sure, although we still haven't seen him in the last two games since he's gotten back. You might have an opportunity with Paredes to be the big power arm at some point. But
Joe Smith, he likes Joe Smith.
No, see, Joe Smith can't pitch anymore, ever again.
No, Joe Smith, he likes Joe. He had Joe Smith up yesterday.
I know. Joe Smith gives up runs almost every time he's in a game.
Yeah. Well, why do you say that? With a 7.04 ERA? Is that why? Is that the indicator?
No, I just say it every time he comes in, he gives up a run.
7.04. He only gives up 7 runs per 9 innings, Lance. That apparently you have a problem with that. 7.04 earned run average. Brooks Raley, 6.95. Scrub, 7.62.
God, man, Scrub was so bad.
I mean, this Paredes, 6.76. Wow.
Let's take a look here at Joe. Let's just take a look at the game log for Joe Smith. See how you like this. Let's see. Earned runs. Of course, some of these he gave up other people's runs, like it doesn't show. In that 9-5 in Friday's game against Oakland, I don't know. Well, maybe he did get out of that. But Thursday's game against Oakland, no, hold on. Let me reverse. There we go. All right. So you got, I was at the bottom. So 2 earned runs, 1 earned run, 0-0-0-0, although I'm not sure runs weren't scored. 1. So they show him for only 4 earned runs in 7 2/3 innings. That's pretty good. That's a 4.70 ERA. For Joe Smith, that's incredible.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
However, as I mentioned, they didn't feel like very effective outings.
Mm-hmm.
Other than there was a couple that were okay. But Joe Smith is not a guy. He's just, everything's flat in the zone. Everything's low in the zone. He's a sidearm pitcher who stays low in the zone. Guys know they just have to take from the belt down, and they can just rip into it. That's why he gets hit so hard.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, let's get Steffi in here. Dr. Steffi will come join us to talk about Naomi Osaka here. And some interesting stuff. I was talking to her yesterday, and she had some interesting points about the way that Naomi Osaka is going about
it. Back off of your slander?
No, actually not. Wasn't really slander. It was and you'll hear her okay. what she says about it. Actually, it wasn't I wasn't trying to slander her. I thought it changed things with the discovery of family and her confidence. But actually, maybe not. So we'll talk to her on the other side here on ESPN 97. I'm almost like a doctor because I have a daughter that's a doctor of psychology. So you have to listen to everything I say.
I know it. Ryan LaChain, so I'm almost like a chef.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean, and how much do you cook? So
I know Rebecca Masson. Right. So I'm kind of like a pastry chef.
So yeah, by
a cookie hooker or whatever.
You know Juggalo Trace. So you're kind of like a NASCAR guy.
So through osmosis of knowing Ryan LaChain, you make subpar chicken sandwiches too?
Have you ever had his chicken sandwich?
I don't need to. I know how he makes it. Subpar.
Wow.
Well, of course, because who would want it?
Chicken slander again.
Unbelievable.
Of course, it's not.
You know, Dell's going to be sitting in your seat tomorrow, and Juggalo Trey is going to be our.
Is he?
Yeah, he's going to be.
I love Juggalo.
Hey, do you guys want me to play the part about the stripper?
Yeah,
I don't mind. I'm excited about Juggalo Trey being here. I just don't know why he couldn't work till 11. I mean, 1, so I can go home.
Oh, they don't have the whole big long shift.
You Oh, you're going to do 6 hours tomorrow?
It's annoying, isn't it?
Wow. Holy crap. You're really working tomorrow. Like a real job, Del.
It's not ideal.
Like a real job.
I'm not looking for that. Why do you think I got in the radio? I'm not looking to work.
You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for that F-150 Lightning. All you have to do is sign up for it. Go to ChastainFord.com, and you can be on the list, too, of getting one. It's probably going to take a good year and a half to get. But you just sign up. You got to sign up and get in line because they are going – I'm telling you, this is going to be one hot item, this Lightning, the F-150, the F-150 Electric. It is so totally sweet. It's an F-150. Listen, you want an F-150, you go to Chastain Ford. Better yet, go to ChastainFord.com and order one. Get it exactly how you want it. Chastain Ford, you can do it all online. They will deliver the vehicle to you. You can test drive it right there. You can have it. If you don't like it, you send it back. And no hard feelings. That's not what you wanted. Or you can go to the dealership. I've been there. It's clean. It's wonderful. They do take it seriously, everything that's going on. And if you're vaccinated, you don't have any worries whatsoever anyway. I like to touch the feel of the car. And the Fords... Listen, I got my Expedition. It's my favorite car that I've ever had, and it was perfect for me. And the payments are perfect for me. Everything worked out, and that's one of the first things that they asked me. I think it was the first thing. Where do your payments have to be? Because they don't want you to have any problems with it. They want you to enjoy your vehicle. So that's what you do at Chastain Ford. One of the first things that they will ask you, what do your payments have to be at? And they want you to have the best experience you can possibly have. What you're doing is you're joining the Chastain family. You're looking for that Ford car or truck at the best place to buy it. It's not even arguable. It's Chastain Ford on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, or ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
97.5, John and Lance, along with Dell. And we had the discussion yesterday about Naomi Osaka. Naomi Osaka, number one player in the world. She makes a ton of money. Her media obligations are that she has to talk to the media after events and even pre-tournament, especially at majors, and she refused to do that. She cited mental health issues. She cited that she has anxiety issues before she speaks to the media, and she's been depressed since she won the U.S. Open in 2018. So very understandable. Yet her sister came out during the tournament and said, well, she was upset because a person in the family said that she is no good on clay, which is the surface at Roland Garros. And the media also reminds her of her record on clay, and that disturbed her. So I thought, well, that's a little bit different than having the other stuff that she was talking about, that Naomi Osaka was talking about. So called Steffi, doctor of psychology. First time that she's been, I believe. Is this your first time on the show, Steph?
I've been on before. We did like a tournament to see Guess the Psychological Disorder or something.
We had a tournament of Guess the Psychological Disorder?
I guess it wasn't a tournament. It was a question.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, Dr. Steffi joins us here on ESPN 97.5. Interesting conversation yesterday about this with you, Steph. The way that she's approaching, she just left. She decided, I'm not going to play. They were going to fine her and possibly disqualify her. And she said, well, I'm just going to walk away. And possibly she's going to walk away for 6 months from the tour. Mm-hmm. And you said something that is not the way any psychologist or psychiatrist would approach it. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, what I was talking to you about is that's an anxiety curve where there's this peak moment of anxiety, and this is what people you know, confuse a lot is that they think any anxiety is bad when really anxiety can be a motivator. And that would be especially true for sports. It's probably why you see athletes play so much better when they're in a tournament or something else is motivating them versus just practice. But now the thing about this curve is being in the exact middle of the curve is when your performance is peak. Now, there can be moments where too much anxiety means that you don't play well, you don't do well. So that could be an actual, you know, hindrance to her. But the key thing here is that how we would get people to get over that anxiety is to face it. Now, not really all at once, but any therapist would probably tell her, okay, you're going to do some breathing exercises and you're going to go take maybe like 5 minutes of questions. Then you're going to like, but over time, getting more and more used to that anxiety so it doesn't control you.
As opposed to just walking away from it, as opposed to, you know, just avoiding it, that she would, and that's an interesting, the anxiety curve. Like she cited an example of my other daughter, Frankie, who is never motivated to study for her tests. And you would call her and say, are you studying for your test? And she would say, no, we're just partying right now. And then the test would be the next morning, and she would call freaking out. So
yeah,
she needed more anxiety. Yeah, she needed more anxiety earlier on to motivate her to study. So we all, and you know what? That's how athletes get great, isn't it? But they have the anxiety of, I want greatness. I want anxiety to feel great, and it'll motivate me to work out to be the best I can possibly be. So that's mm-hmm. interesting. That is interesting. And that she should probably get some help in how to face this anxiety that she's having.
So listening to, or reading all the commentary, it was a lot of the athletes going praise for Naomi Osaka for, you know, for putting her mental health first. And this is something we hope more athletes take into account. So you're suggesting that walking away isn't the way a mental health professional would have told her to handle this particular issue?
Well, not necessarily. So if she's walking away to work on it, that's a different story. But most people are going to say, we want you to go back eventually, like after you have the therapy or tools or anything you need under your belt. So it could be if she's walking away to focus on her mental health, this could be a good thing. But just walking away and never returning, that's sort of like every time you avoid something, it's kind of like imagine your anxiety is like a ball and chain attached to you. Every time you go avoid something, you're adding another weight to it. So it's going to get heavier and heavier and heavier until you're overwhelmed by it. So most mental health people will say you eventually need to face this to be able to get over it.
Yeah, you're
now,
coping.
Maybe she's taking 6 months to go to therapy and learn how to.
I mean, your coping mechanism becomes leaving, and that's not a coping mechanism that's going to be.
It's an avoidance.
But is this,
yeah.
It's an avoidance, but this is the problem I think that some people have. Has this been an issue for her in the past, or is this just about she feels this way about clay court surfaces? Or, you know, that's the thing is, it's not like she's just brand new on the scene. She has done interviews and she has done this before. So that's why the question has come up from people. Is this just a selective issue that she used in this particular case? And I mean, it could be something that she's dealt with and has been fine with doing it and didn't want to at this time. But yeah, I think that's interesting, Steffi, how she's going to handle it. Let's step outside of just her for a second and let's get to, we have somebody here in Houston in Zach Greinke, starting pitcher, who is, he has, like, his dream come true was last year during a pandemic when no one could be around him. And there was no fans in the stands. Like, that was his dream come true. We had Ricky Williams years ago who used to wear a helmet.
Royce White.
Interviews Royce White with the Rockets, who I...
mental health issues.
Though. Well, he had... I don't even like putting Royce in the same category with those others because he feels... Sometimes Royce felt like he was... I don't know. I'll leave Royce out of it. When you have athletes who have issues with social anxiety or with mental health, and I know that's a broad term, and there's much more specific issues that you have inside that big umbrella. How difficult is it for? for them to overcome or to manage when they're on a stage with so many eyes on them, so many people are talking about them, and they do have media obligations?
So that would be extremely hard. I mean, the key in a lot of social anxieties, and it could be just a phobia. So there's two huge differences there. But like, social anxiety is just kind of being around anyone. So the pitcher you spoke about who just that was his dream during COVID, a lot of the people I see, because I specialize in PTSD, COVID has been their ultimate dream and avoidance. They get to not see anyone. They get to not interact. Now, but some people can just have straight-up phobias of speaking in public. But both of those can be managed. You just have to want to face it. Because the key part is, it's sort of like, I mean, the treatment can be just as hard as the disorder. Because a lot of the treatment is facing exactly what you don't want to. I often describe it as, it's sort of like when you are sticking your hand in snow for too long and you know you need to put it under the hot water, but the hot water hurts worse than the cold, frozen hand. So a lot of people don't want to face it, and they just keep avoiding.
That's Dr. Steffi here on ESPN 97.5. My question to you is, what kind of anxiety level did you have when Frankie was driving and she was putting on her makeup while she was driving? What kind of anxiety do you think there is?
No level of anxiety that can be explained for Frankie, because that's genuine fear. Anxiety is often irrational. There should be fear when Frankie's driving.
It's totally rational.
No, that's rational. No question that that's rational. Well, we appreciate you being here, and thanks for the insight, Dr. Steffi. Well, sometimes we got to play. We maybe play that game. Guess the mental
phobia.
That people have. You can describe something.
Can she play the game right now for me?
You want to play? Yeah, you want to play?
Let's use two individuals. Well, they'll be unnamed. So let's protect the innocent or guilty per se. Whatever. If you have one individual who, you know, likes to spend most of his time away from others because, you know, he doesn't trust humans in general, but likes them individually, while there's another who doesn't mind being loud, boisterous. The word is drunk, but I was trying to avoid it, around others. This isn't really a question of a phobia. Who is the better person? Should the individual who decides to stay away from those things be considered the weirdo because, you know, he doesn't want to be around a loud, boisterous person? Or is he the weirdo or the person who's really loud?
Steffi, how do you fix a person that's really balled up inside and won't?
Who was making a conscious...
Who's passive-aggressive and won't make...
Not passive.
Yeah. No, he's aggressive.
Who's consciously saying, I'm making a decision to keep myself out of these situations. Should he be shamed because he decides not to because he knows himself? Or should the person who's doing the shaming check themselves?
Steffi?
Well, we wouldn't shame anyone, but this does sound like avoidance. So,
avoidance? If your mental health would be better suited not to be around the loud, let me give you an example.
Okay.
This person, Steffi, this person doesn't drink. He has made a choice and he's sticking with it.
Is he a good choice. Person?
No, that's a bad person.
That's up for someone to decide. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay,
but in public, while he's doing his job, should the aforementioned loud person yell at him and say, "Joe, you want a drink? Do you want a Coors Light?
Feel specific.
Would you like a Coors?" Yeah, I said Dell. It's very specific.
Yeah.
Should it sound
specific.
Should that be the interaction between the two, or should the loud, boisterous person respect that person's decision not to drink?
Well, I think the person who is doing the pressuring also may have gotten mad at his daughter once for not having a fake ID in college. So,
what?
Who he is.
Got mad for not having a fake ID.
We couldn't go in Oklahoma. It's Stillwater. They don't let you even into the restaurant, to the bar area, if you don't have a fake ID. I'm like, what kind of kid are you? How do you not have a fake ID? What's wrong with you?
The time I became a doctor.
Well,
she wins.
Yeah, but at the time, you weren't. So don't use that as an excuse. Get your fake ID on.
Hold
so that
on.
We can.
This is, I want y'all to, I know some of you are saying, wait, I don't think I'm hearing this right. No, you are hearing this right. This is John angry at his daughter for not having a fake ID.
Oh, and almost getting her kicked out of her sorority because I put a couple, three cases of beer in her trunk, right?
What are you doing?
Yeah, because, well, she was too young to buy them, so I had to get them for her. And they didn't allow the beer in the sorority, right?
Yeah, I almost got kicked out.
You almost got So this is a problem, sis. Okay.
Well, I feel there's some issues that are
bubbling up.
Yeah, I almost got kicked out. That sounded yeah, I almost got kicked out of there.
Yeah, this isn't a joke, by the way.
So this is a bad example for her because she's lived with someone loud and obnoxious and drunk her whole life.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, that's just life, okay?
You should deal with it.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
That's all. You think she went into a shell and wasn't able to talk to anybody?
Talk to people. I just feel like, I don't feel like it's avoidance. So I tell myself, I don't enjoy these situations, so I'm just not going to go out. Because this person likes to invite me to places and go, hey, why don't you hang out? But when I know this is going to occur, I decide, you know what? That's not the best for my mental health.
You're
so I'm going to stay away.
Steffi said it. You're avoiding.
I need to protect my mental health, John.
No.
That's all.
No. You need therapy. And you need to be able to go out with drunks.
We must protect this health.
You need to go out with drunks.
You're like Under Armour, but for mental health.
Yeah.
Why? Well, this is therapy. She's not getting paid for it, but
no.
That's why I'm asking her questions.
No. Hey, how about we got a free therapist at the house all the time? You know what? That's the benefit.
Has she helped at all?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. And guess what? Her family, this family, she's been used quite often, if you want to know the truth. And got paid for it. No, there's no billable.
There's no billable hours?
No. I've already paid those bills.
He makes a point.
Steffi, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Have fun in Chicago, love.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm watching the W flag fly right now.
Oh, the Cubs.
She's right by, she's staying right by in Wrigleyville.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel good or bad that she's so close to
To the Cubs?
Wrigley, yeah.
The Cubs suck. Hate the Cubs. I still love her. Bye, baby. That's Steffi, Dr. Steffi right
here. I like that she's still alive in Chicago. At least one of y'all is.
She what?
She's allowed to go in Chicago.
I'm allowed to go.
Her name.
Oh, well, that's different.
Did you get the sense that Steffi by the end was like just kind of beaten down over the phone call? Started one way.
And then we got into...
Remember that time when I... She goes, yeah, and you made me...
You got mad at me.
You yelled at me because I didn't have a fake ID. And then you put beer in my trunk and almost got me kicked out of my sorority.
Yeah, that's happened. That's college.
I felt like the tables had turned and me and Dell were the therapists.
Well, poor Steffi. She's had to live with us her whole life. It's 847 ESPN 97.5. Got to take a break. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we haven't even talked basketball yet. NBA last night. It's the end of the Knicks. And did you see the video? They're walking into the arena at Madison Square Garden, all Knicks fans, and they're chanting F. Altuve. Why?
They're not going to let this go, apparently.
What the hell?
That happened yesterday?
Yes. And walking into the arena.
You would think Trae Young stealing their soul would be a bigger attention grabber.
Trae Young.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they've already spit on him.
Well, yeah. F him. I mean...
John Boy, single-handedly, John Boy, New York Yankee fan, he single-handedly turned, and he doesn't care.
He's leaning.
Yeah, turned Jose Altuve into the face.
He's leaning
into cheating, where it has been already discussed and shown by a research that the guy did where he watched every bang trash can and everything, and he showed the guys who benefited the most and the ones who benefited the least or who had the bangs the least. Jose Altuve was at the bottom of the curve.
Yeah.
Teammates said he didn't want to know
the
pitch.
But
he thought it screwed him
up. The buzzer is what killed
Everything
Altuve.
Everything is about somebody circling a buzzer and a fake troll. But this is a great example of fake news, right? Where if you hear something like that, the buzzer, there's a buzzer. Oh, I heard his Carlos Beltran's niece said this. That's all you needed. Some bull crap came out like that, And once it got in people's head, that's it. That's all you got to do. You just got to plant it a little bit. And now it's stuck. And so Jose Altuve is the guy who's the face of cheating for the Astros when it really couldn't be further from the truth. But that's what it is now. So, you know, whatever. Jose Altuve still has a ring. He still has some sweet gifts that I like to put on people, like the one where he dances in the dugout, where you can always send those replies to people. And then somebody else, I said something about the traffic. Stay on topic, Lance. We'll get to Houston traffic in a second. There's something really terrible getting ready to happen.
Oh, it's already really terrible.
Oh, no. This is about to be terrible until 2022. Somebody did something. They put a GIF. Oh, yeah, everything about Houston's terrible. And then they had a woman, you know, on QVC or whatever, banging a trash can. It was some comedy skit. And I'm like, we're good with it. Like, we made our peace with this. Do you understand that we don't care? Won a championship. Yeah, bang on trash cans. You use the Theragun if you're in New York. Use the same model because Carlos Beltran brought over the same model from New York with the Yankees. The Dodgers now we learned use the Theragun machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's all good. And the Red Sox are multi-year cheaters. We're good with it.
Yeah,
we're good with being called cheaters because everyone knows you are now too. Mm-hmm. It's just Major League Baseball won't act on it.
No,
but everyone knows that. Every player who's played in the sport, not every player, but players who play the sport. For these teams have come out and said, oh, yeah. Oh, no, here's the cheating that was done, and this is what we did, and this is... You've already been outed. Just because Twitter hasn't put a hashtag on you doesn't mean you didn't cheat. You did.
Yeah. And I would think Yermin Mercedes is much worse person than any Astro. He swings at 3-0 pitches and hits home runs.
That's way worse than anything the Astros did.
And way worse.
And then does he wear a quote-unquote do-rag on his head? A quote-unquote Bob Brenly? A do-rag?
They should be Brenly's now. Bob Brenly's now. That's what do-rag should be. Hawks beat the Knicks, eliminated them. See ya. It was nice having you in the playoffs for the first time in, I don't know, 80 years or whatever it's been, Knicks. So congratulations, you lasted 5 games. The 76ers eliminated the Wizards. And Joel Embiid has a slight meniscus tear.
Yeah.
Well, you have to play every time Philadelphia comes up.
Sure we do.
76ers, not Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Oh.
Philadelphia's a nice city. What do you think, Denzel?
I like the 38 trash-ass city.
And it's a slightly torn meniscus. He's torn his meniscus in the other knee, and it resulted in surgery. This one they're trying to manage, but I think we all know, like, even if he plays, this is going to be a pain and swelling thing. He's going to get surgery. The question is, will they even try to let him play through this? He's going to have surgery at some point.
You knew he'd get hurt.
It's a big man disease. The two most talented big men in the league just happen to also be the most fragile, Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid.
Yeah. I mean, what can they win without...
They can't win anything.
They can't win.
They struggled to beat... For 3-plus quarters, they struggled with the Wizards last night. They're not winning anything without Joel Embiid.
No. They can't.
No.
They're out. This series, the Eastern Conference Finals are being decided this upcoming week to 2 weeks between the Milwaukee Bucks and the... there's only 3 teams in the East, and so Milwaukee and the Nets are going to decide who moves on to play the Western Conference champ. And I honestly, boy, the Clippers, if you play this sporadically, can the Clippers really get through the next 2 rounds, get through this round and the next? I can see the Clippers still winning this series.
You can?
Yeah, absolutely. They're down 3-2, but they have had moments where I think they'll win the next one and make it 3-3.
Well, for whatever reason, when you go home, you can't win in this series.
I know, but
all 5 games.
I'll bet you they win one.
Well, the Mavericks might win one in game 6.
Well, I'll bet you that they don't.
Why?
I bet the Clips step up. But
why? The same Clippers who blew a 3-1 lead last year?
Yeah, that's a good point, and it probably brings up this point. If they do go out to the Mavericks, and that is a Mavericks team that has, listen, that's they're okay. They're okay. Porzingis is, you know, that's Luka.
They have the best player in the series.
That's Luka. That's what it is. And because Luka is now the best player in that series, he's 3rd year in the league. He scored 42 yesterday.
That's funny. Luka's the best player in that series.
But is it deniable?
No.
When it's he's not, really, not, when he's
what
not
happens
hurting.
To Kawhi Leonard's reputation if they go out? You know, Kawhi was given, we gave him special status, and I thought he had earned it. But after last year, you know, they won a championship 2 years ago, and he didn't have a big game seven. It was Van Vliet that had the big game. Then you have last year where, and by the way, Kawhi's big shot that went in was like a quadruple banger off the rim that went in and buried, who was it that they beat?
The Sixers.
Beat the Sixers.
Yeah.
Then you have last year where they get eliminated early, and then or they get eliminated, period. And then this year, if they go out in the first round against the Mavericks because another player outplays Kawhi Leonard, quite a terrible shot to try to tie the game, and Rajon Rondo was like in his face about it because it was a selfish shot. It was a bad shot. What is it going to do to his reputation? He already got kind of a weird reputation when with the whole thing with Pop and the Spurs went down. It was like, I didn't think this was – like, this feels weird for Kawhi Leonard.
What is
he going to
do for his reputation? He's already a Hall of Famer. He's got two titles.
I'm just saying his standing in the league, where do you put a Kawhi Leonard?
Right now? Well, as soon as he gets with LeBron, after this, when they lose this, LeBron?
He won't get with LeBron. I don't think he likes LeBron.
But LeBron's going to call him. Him
LeBron
and Paul,
can call
he,
all he wants.
Paul George, Anthony Davis,
there's
LeBron.
There's such thing as a cap, John. They have to pay all those guys.
Yeah, no, this just in.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it
actually does.
It
they
does
do
actually
follow
affect
a cap.
Those things.
Yeah. Anthony Davis baseball. Got paid. They're a little stuck right now.
I mean, they could whatever, in that world where Damian Lillard might want out, or Bradley Beal, you know, despite signing an extension, yet he was asked about his future. He's like, I like Scott Brooks, but I'm not sure. So, you know, it only takes one superstar to say I'm out for things to start moving again. But as Kawhi has a foil with him, and it's easy to criticize Paul George, but Kawhi has probably been the issue, at least he was last night. But as long as Paul George is on his side, people will like to take their shots at Paul George. So that's his one saving grace. But if he stinks or isn't good in a game six and Luka goes off again, he'll take his arrows as well he should. He went to L.A. to change the Clippers' fortune and turn them from an also-ran into the Kings of L.A. And if they go out and they don't make one conference final where he has – and now his player option is up where he can opt out when he probably will – his esteem will decrease a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's still one of the.
It's not a question like, yeah, great player, but he was unimpeachable at one point. Like yeah. he was the star that didn't have the failures on his resume that LeBron did. He turned Toronto into a champion,
right.
Despite the injuries with all the injuries of Golden State aside. If he fails for the Clippers twice in two seasons, he'll take his shots, and rightfully so.
He should. That's what I'm saying. That's kind of my whole point is Kawhi Leonard doesn't get the same. He can't be insulated like he once was. Not. It's one thing to play great and lose. Like, no one behooves Dame Lillard for losing. But Kawhi Leonard was already given superstar status, like megastar status. He's the quiet megastar who won championships. He could win championships wherever he went. And if you go out kind of softly last year the way he went out, and if they go out softly again this year, it's going to be a bad look for Kawhi Leonard as far as the guy who is the alpha that everything revolves around. That's not a good look. James has taken a ton of heat. He just doesn't have, you know, and James has a great chance of winning a title this year. And then
all that stuff goes away.
Even if James is reliant upon Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, James loves all the benefits he gets, but I just don't think he wanted all the heat that he was going to have. Well, now he doesn't have to have that. And if he wins a ring, he doesn't care because he got the ring. That's it.
That's it.
I got it. I got the chip, and you can't say anything anymore about playoff James or this, that, and the other, especially if he didn't have so much pressure on him. Now you're facing maybe a Sixer team if they get through, and then you beat Milwaukee. If you face a Sixer team that's down and out, you got a Laker team that's not the same with the injuries. A Clippers team, we don't even know if they'll get there. Luka, you really think the Mavericks are a team that can win a championship?
No.
Suns are just a bad hamstring away from being done?
Yep.
I mean,
might be a Nets-Jazz final?
They can't beat the Jazz can't beat them. The Nets are the lock of the century right now.
Well, so were the Lakers before the
season.
You
heard it right here.
We'll see.
Put a house on
And you never know who's going to go down.
You never know who's going to get hurt.
What if there's a birthday party that Kyrie's got to be at?
You never know who'll get hurt.
Great.
Yes. You don't know.
You can't win without Kyrie.
Didn't Kevin Durant get hurt in the NBA Finals and they lost? Yes.
That's why you have three megastars.
Well, the Warriors lost two in the same finals. You never know.
Yeah. All right, 901 ESPN 97.5. I know this. Jeff Aronoff is going to come to your home and he's going to make it better. It's what he does. Oh, your business, too. How about that your business, your countertops and your bathroom, it's gross, and you need to redo whatever your business is, a remodel of it is, if you haven't done anything in a while, man, you got to upgrade. And you're wondering, why is business slowing down? Well, how about that nobody wants to come to your place because it's kind of gross? Well, Jeff Aronoff can fix all that. That's what Jeff Aronoff does every day. He makes your business, he makes your home more valuable, more attractive, more everything, because Jeff Aronoff fixes it, makes it look great. You have the richness of marble and granite and tile and all the stuff in the rock, you know, that he works with is just spectacular. The countertops, the cabinetry, the vanities, everything that Jeff Aronoff offers you in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the playrooms or whatever room it is that you need remodeling, Jeff Aronoff is here for you. Dude does big, big work. And if you need big, big work done, 713-880-2822, absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822, tell them you heard it right here.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.